No, it's often in pain and waiting room unknowns. It's in suffering and darkness where God declares himself and brings peace to our minds and spirits, because that's when we desperately need him. No amount of fast-forwarding or busyness can create enough friction to launch us past needing peace. As long as there are waiting room seasons, we can either respond by wading through the mess or walking around it, embracing or escaping. Turns out Ty's Lego popped out easily in addition to a BB he'd shoved up his other nostril. I know. Pleased with his newfound attention, Ty held a pair of tiny spheres, smaller than peas, in cupped hands, while the doctor stood in front of me, her finger gently pointing in earnest. "Ty," she cooed, "we do not put Legos or BBs or anything else up our nose, okay?" Without missing a beat, that stinker looked at her and then at me. And then he leaned forward, showing microscopic gifts in open palms, and said, "Next time, I'm gonna shove the house up there." And that, my friends, is why I need peace and prayer and rest. It's no wonder God talks so much about rest in the Bible. In the Old Testament, rest was focused on the Sabbath, a day set aside when work was avoided and people were encouraged to worship and simply be. I love the concept, but have trouble setting aside a whole day when no baking or work or dance parties occur. Thank the Lord for the New Testament. When his son came, along with his spirit, grace swept a refreshing second color across the canvas, magnifying rest where before legalism marked. When I read Matthew 11, 28 through 30, something deep within awakens. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Yes, please. Easy and light and rest for your souls. I'll take a large helping of that, thank you, kind sir. Experiencing the type of peace that comes only from resting in him is where I long to find myself, smack in the middle of nostril surprises and unplanned events. As I taste the value of rest, I don't want to go back to the urgency I led from before. I spent too many early married young mommy years living in the ideal of the future or analyzing the past, neglecting to enjoy today, to be present to the tiny moments and memories making up the who and what texture of now. In her faith memoir, Leaving Church, Barbara Brown Taylor confesses her addiction to busyness and how rest has forever transformed her. Like many ambitious people, I had developed a dependence for adrenaline. I could get so much done when my anxiety was in the red zone that I learned to live right on the edge of panic, in the optimum zone between alarm and collapse. It was my version of running hurdles, and I was good at it. Ultimately, her exhaustion propelled her to step away from her priesthood at an Episcopalian parish. She learned how to sit for more than 20 minutes without fearing my head would explode. She learned how to breathe deeply as a woman rested, not rushed. And when the air came back out of me again, it did not emerge like air escaping through the pinched neck of a rubber balloon. It emerged as the sigh of a rested person, which I had not been for quite some time. How do you know if you're a rested person? Perhaps the best barometer is a mirror to reflect where rest is absent. Are you tired, anxious, stressed? Do you have headaches? When I'm not rested, I bite at my family and have no patience to draw from. What I pull up are frantic attempts to control all situations. Peace can't be found apart from God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit's invitation comes, even in a children's classic.